Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
When it comes to palliative care in America, perception is indeed reality. Palliative care is deeply personal and fundamentally rooted in respect for human life. Focusing on living and not dying, it's an important catalyst for honoring patient choices and understanding personal definitions of quality of life rather than merely focusing on the clinical aspects of a terminal illness. I'm Christopher Springman. This is Life, Love, and Health. And our next guest is a retired cardiologist. He's 74 years old. He's hardly retired. And he's a pioneer in palliative care. That makes you sound kind of old, doesn't it? A pioneer. He's promoting communication among physicians with the greater and the greater community about end-of-life issues. Welcome to Life, Love, and Health, Dr. Forsythe.
Thank you very much, Christopher.
It's a pleasure having you here, and congratulations on the Sojourns Award that you received from the Cambia Health Foundation in Portland, honoring your work in palliative care. And my understanding is that the prize money, well, it'll be plowed right back into your work.
Exactly that.
You know, palliative care is interesting stuff, and I'd like to relate a story to you that just happened to me, and I'm sure anyone who has watched a friend or a relative die probably has a similar story. Good friend of the family, Bill, was flown out from New York. He was dying of lung cancer metastases, and he was in a hospice facility, and Bill couldn't speak, but he recognized me. And you know, at one point I just got very, very frustrated, and I threw the sheet off his foot, took off his sock, and I played with his toes and tickled his foot. And he smiled, and a tear came from his eye. And that was very, very sweet. And that is my last memory of Bill. I kissed him goodbye, and you know, that indeed was goodbye. But what is the impact of touch and perhaps a little bit of humor in a palliative care situation where people may be, well, perhaps not as communicative as they'd like to be?
Well, I think that it just points out that a lot of communication about what's important may not be verbal. And we finally in medicine got around to asking dying people what was important to them in their care.
What a novel concept.
And four or five studies were done around 2000 to 2005, and they all came to the same conclusion that there were four or five things that dying people who knew they were dying said were most important to them. One of those was, you know, symptom relief and being comfortable. One of those was being in the presence of family and friends. And the third on that list was the touch of other people.
Mm.
As a young physician, 40 or 50 years ago, that wouldn't have been on my list.
So it was okay for me to tickle Bill's toes?
Yeah, but one of the things I learned, you know, by experience was the importance of touch. And I think that combining touch with humor, you know, is an extremely important way that we communicate with each other, especially near the end of life.
Well, I also think that folks at the end of life not only want to be treated with dignity and respect, but they also want to be treated like adults. You know, we're not speaking to little children here.
Absolutely.
Even though these folks can't communicate often, as the case may be, that, you know, we really need to talk to people in an adult way, and not conceal our emotions either, because, you know, we are the living, and, you know, we will be here after they're gone, and we have to live with this experience.
And those emotions are very important, not only to the dying people, but to us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, to just say, this is a part of me as a human being, and I relate to you as a human being.
Have you ever been asked, doctor, to pray with a family?
Yes. Yeah.
And what is that like?
Well, you know, I'm not overtly religious.
Uh-huh.
But I, when asked to do that, and I have been on several occasions, I say I'd be happy to pray with them and to respect what they have to say with respectful silence. Yeah.
I'm sure it makes an enormous difference.
Well, and I think that verbally at that time, perhaps, and perhaps it is a prayer, you know, I can say to the person directly what it is that I feel, you know, and that I'm going to miss you, and I've enjoyed taking care of you, and we've had this, you know, oftentimes in a small town, you have the great opportunity of following people for years, and that I've enjoyed being your doctor, but I've enjoyed being your friend. And I remember this time when we were, you know, whatever it was, fishing together or whatever, and I had one patient who used to tell me that I needed a haircut every time.
You probably did. Our guest is John our
and
guest
when
is,
I told him that when he was dying, that brought a smile.
Yeah, well, you also remembered. That's important.
Yeah.
Our guest is Dr. John Forsyth, Chair of Choosing Options, Honoring Options, or COHO in Medford, Oregon. By the way, Doctor, where can people learn more about COHO, your organization?
Well, it's a small organization, but we have a website, if that would be helpful, and
please.
I can tell you what that is. It's www.coho, C-O-H-O, Rogue Valley, R-O-G-U-E, that's the name of our river here, Rogue Valley. .org. So www.cohorogevalley.org.
And I would be amiss if I didn't be one of the many folks who congratulate you on your Sojourns Award from the Cambia Health Foundation, which honors exemplary leaders in the field of palliative care. You talk...
Thank you, but it also honors this wonderful group of people that I work with. It especially does that.
Well, you're very humble, and that's actually very appealing. Have you ever facilitated a reunion among estranged family members when, you know, a person is under your care? Because, you know, very often these are, a parent, for example, is a very, very stressful experience for children and family members.
It's very common. Very common. And estranged or just distant, you know, sometimes in this day and age, physical distance, you know. And so, you know, we talk about the daughter from the Midwest who arrives, not having seen her parent for years, perhaps, and is geared into thinking that everything needs to be done, when all of the conversations we've had leading up to that time from the parent and with the parent have said, you know, what I really want at the end of my life are the things that are in palliative care. And so it becomes as important to talk with and to include that estranged person or distant person in the dialogue and in the conversation. And it can be most meaningful in helping them to begin to realize, you know, that this is a meaningful time for them as well.
Right. Since life is for the living, I should think that one of the best gifts a dying person can give to their family, especially if there is tension within the family, is, in a word, forgiveness.
Yes. And I think that we as physicians sometimes don't allow that conversation to happen, that we say to a family or to the estranged person, if they're the decision maker, you know, all right, here's the situation. It's life or death. You decide.
Well,
and we don't fill in the blanks, and we don't fill in the meaningful conversations that may have led up to that point.
Yes, I can certainly understand that. I have watched that in palliative care and hospice facilities, and it is amazing when people finally forgive, do their mea culpas, you know, express their love and affection, and very often that is a moment in history when they. Well, when they leave us.
I think that's true. I think that's very true. Well said.
Well, gee, thanks. Our guest has been Dr. John Forsyth, Chair of Choosing Options, Honoring Options, or COHO in Medford, Oregon. He's the recipient of the 2012 Sojourns Award from the Cambia Health Foundation, honoring leadership in the field of palliative care. Dr. Forsyth, thank you so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health.
Christopher, it's been my great pleasure. Thank you.
And I'm Christopher Springman.